This is Studio 360.
I'm Kurt Anderson.
Now, try to guess where we are. A cocktail lounge called something like Seasons or Le Cabaret in some upscale downtown hotel somewhere? Nope. We are at a hospital near Buffalo, New York. It's the Roswell Park Cancer Institute. Mark DiGiampaolo is performing in the lobby.
I never have a set lineup. Rather, I just try to come up with a flow of music that seems to make sense for that particular day and for those particular people.
And if this doesn't exactly say chemotherapy to you, that is exactly the point.
I watch as they walk in, and I see the expression on their face, and many of them come in with very challenging situations, whether it's for their own situation or whether they're visiting somebody.
Like hospitals all over the country, Roswell Park is drawing patients with its cultural program. They've installed a huge, brightly painted metal sculpture, along with 800 other original works of art all over the hospital. They bring in dancers and actors and musicians to work with patients undergoing treatment. And the very first thing you hear when you walk in the door might be a volunteer performer like Mark.
I've learned with one of the cleaning carts that his wheels are actually in E-flat major. So I see him coming, and then there's a couple pieces that I can pick that will actually work with the sound coming out of his wheels as opposed to getting clobbered by it.
Today in Studio 360, we'll look at some of the ways that the creative arts, music and movement and literature are becoming part of healthcare. And we'll hear from people who are trying to prove scientifically that this isn't just civilized and nice, that the arts can actually help people get better. People like Richard Fratayan.
I've always had an interest in music because I play, and there's musical talent in my family, inherited through my mother, and all my children are very musically inclined. But I came to understand that music therapy had a profound effect on patients recovering from all sorts of things.
Dr. Fratayan is director emeritus of the Burn Unit at the Cleveland Metro Health Trauma Center. He experienced music therapy himself a few years ago when he was recovering from surgery to remove a brain tumor, and he became a true believer.
The problem is music therapy is not compensated by either governmental programs or private insurance policies. Because there just isn't very much science in music therapy yet. And so I thought that it might be interesting to see if we could prove the value of music therapy in the burn center where pain and anxiety is really very, very high.
I don't remember coming into the hospital. I just remember waking up and my family was in the room. And I knew I was in bad shape because I was so bandaged up and all these people with white coats standing around me. So I knew I was in bad shape.
A burn injury is so profound that it affects every part of the person. It's not only physical and emotional, but there's an intellectual challenge and there's a spiritual threat because patients don't recognize who they are anymore. They don't feel the same. They don't look the same. Oftentimes they feel ashamed of how they look and they're so afraid.
I'm Clifton Dobbs, and I was admitted to the burn unit because I sustained some burns from the barbecue grill that I was trying to light. I had gasoline on my t-shirt because I was filling my lawnmower up about 2 hours earlier. So when I went to light the barbecue grill, just the fumes from the T-shirt caught fire. And it just, like, exploded. It, like, went up my arm, and just before I knew it, I was, like, my upper body was, like, totally engulfed in flame. And just when I had done that, my brother Anton came around the corner, and he jumped on top of me and helped put me out.
We chose burn patients because their pain is so severe and their anxiety is so high that we thought if we can prove that music therapy can actually have a positive effect in these patients, then we can be rest assured that it's going to work in every patient.
You know, you have to get your bandages changed 3 times a day, and they actually scrape your skin with this dull instrument because you have to heal from the inside out. You can't get scabs. They don't want you to do that when you burn because of the infection and all that type of stuff. So every day you have to get scraped 3 times a day. It's very, very painful. Changing bandages are painful. Putting on the different lubrications and stuff are very painful.
Now, obviously, we can give pain medication, we can give sedatives and tranquilizers, but if it's a really painful dressing change, there's no way you can relieve all of the pain except under anesthesia. And you can't anesthetize the patient 2 or 3 times a day. The body won't tolerate it.
You know, everybody talks about morphine, but it was like did nothing to deaden the pain, in my view. You know, it was just, I mean, maybe it did. Maybe if you went in there with absolutely nothing, it would be much worse. I can't imagine it. But I, you know, I mean, I could feel everything.
Music requires an integration of many parts of the brain. There's the motor part, that is the physical response to playing or tapping to the rhythm of the music and that sort of thing. But then there's the limbic system, the emotional response that comes to hearing music that brings forth feelings and thoughts and ideas. And but also there's rhythm, there's tempo, there's melody. All of these things have to be integrated at the same time to appreciate music. It's amazing how the brain can do this. The reason we need a professional music therapist to intervene in these painful procedures is by their training, they're able to capture the patient's attention. We call that entrainment. It is actively involving the patient in the musical experience because when their mind is diverted to participating in the therapy, they cannot think about the pain.
Sorry, one more time.
She had these different instruments that she would bring in, and she would tell me to sing along with her.
Amazing grace.
And I did.
How sweet.
I started singing along with her, and it really did take your mind off of the immediate, what the nurses were doing. And it was a relief, and it was a great thing to have, you know, instead of just sitting there and laying there waiting for them to get done.
The earlier research just, you know, asked the patient before and after a musical experience, do you feel better? Yes, sure. That doesn't really prove anything. It's only when you're dealing with patients like we're dealing with in the burn unit that you can clearly identify changes in their response with music therapy. And we have done that. And one of our latest studies is utilizing measurements of a stress hormone, which is one of the products of the adrenal gland, in response to stress. And we know when patients are highly stressed, these levels go up. And we're measuring to see whether music therapy can actually depress those levels of the hormone. And our initial studies have shown that. What we're doing is new. We know that, and that's why it's exciting, because it is new. But the music can have a calming effect on people. How it works, still being discovered.
I once was lost, but now I'm found.
Still grill. Yeah. And I know that's the look I get from a lot of people. But I mean I like the grill, and so I do. if you would taste some of my grilled meats and stuff, you would understand.
That's Clinton Dobbs, a former patient of the burn unit, and we heard also from Dr. Richard Fratayan of the Cleveland Metro Health Trauma Center. Carrie Hillman produced our story.